This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the April 10th edition of Wednesday with Walton and Newberry, coming to you from thecardinalnation.com and also simulcast each week via the Scoops Sports Network and all your favorite podcast apps. Welcome, Blake.
Thank you, Brian. Good to be here.
So last week we talked about AAA Memphis. That was the first minor league team in the Cardinals system to start playing. And as we talked about before, their schedule sort of mirrors the major leagues, at least closer. The other three teams started last Friday. And of course, that is Double A Springfield, High A Peoria, and Low A Palm Beach. And what Blake and I are going to do this week is go through those three rosters and talk about some of the highlights of those clubs. So let's start with Double A Springfield. A very interesting pitching rotation. Of course, Tig Hintz and Tekoa Roby, who are our number two and three starters in the system, are in the Springfield rotation, as well as Max Radjic, who was the pitcher of the year in the Cardinals system last year. But interestingly enough, there is one pitcher who we thought would be in that rotation who's not, and that's Ian Bedell, our number 15 prospect. He hasn't pitched at all. And so, you know, right now he's listed in the bullpen, but we'll have to see what happens there. As you look at Springfield pitching, what do you think of? What do you see?
Yeah, I mean, I think you hit it on the nail on the head here. I think the rotation is definitely the most interesting part of the team, and it's probably the best rotation of the system. Just in terms of prospect pedigree. So we already touched on Tink Hentz and Tekoa Roby. I think those are two guys who do have that top of the rotation upside. So I think they could move pretty quick through Double A since they both have that Double A experience already under their belt. Tink Hentz struggled a little bit last year in Double A. I'm expecting to see a much better showing from him this year. I think he had some finger issues towards the end of the year last year that didn't really help his performance there. But I think both of those guys have the stuff to really thrive in Double A and push their way into Triple A, where they can then just start pushing their way towards the major league rotation.
And Roby, by the way, had a shoulder issue last year, which might have been the reason that he was made available to the Cardinals.
Yeah, 100%. I think that helped the Cardinals get him from the Rangers, which was a huge win for the Cardinals if he can stay healthy. So I think really we knew those two were going to be in the rotation. The one we didn't know was going to be in the rotation was Edwin Nunez. I think that's the one that is really, really interesting to me. And first off, I love that the Cardinals put Nunez in the rotation, even if it doesn't work, because I'm a big fan of letting your pitchers with the best arm talent get out there and have a chance to start. There are a lot of issues with Nunez. There's some lack of consistency in the mechanics at times. He's can struggle to find the zone at times. The fastball shape isn't great. The breaking ball can get kind of slurvy. All of those things can be overcome. I want to see him get the chance to learn how his stuff plays over six innings, see what kind of developments he can make, and see if he can add that consistency into his game, because he could be a guy who's really impactful out of the rotation if he gets a chance to prove that he can actually stick there.
And interestingly enough, Nunez was a bonus baby, although they don't really have bonus babies anymore, but he received a very large international bonus and got thrown into the fire as a teenager with no professional experience in the Palm Beach. They had him start. And, you know, as you said, he didn't have the control necessary to be successful in that role. They backed him off to the bullpen. And after a year, you know, he showed great progress. So yeah, I think definitely Edwin Nunez, who's our number 20 prospect as a reliever, but if he, you know, if he's successful as a starter, he could definitely move up.
Oh yeah. 100%. I mean, there's a reason he's the top reliever in our ranking, because quite frankly, there's just not another pitcher probably in the entire organization that can do what he can do on the mound, which is touch 100 miles per hour with a fastball and break 3,000 RPMs of spin with his breaking ball. That's a crazy combination, and it can lead to a ton of whiffs down the road if he can actually get those things working for him.
So let's talk about behind the plate. We've got Jimmy Crooks there, who moved up, was very successful, especially in the second half with Peoria, played in the Arizona Fall League. We've also got some very interesting infielders. Brian Torres, who's a signed from independent ball, is hit everywhere he's played. Bushberger and Menlinger also on the infield. And then the outfield, again, not as strong maybe. Matt Lloyd, an international acquisition as well as was Torres. And then Nathan Church and Chris Rotondo as well. So what do you see in the position players at Springfield?
Yeah, I think it's definitely not as interesting of a position player group because you just don't have those guys who are really big name prospects. But when you look at these guys, there's a lot of guys who at least do something well. First off, Jimmy Crux is just a really, really solid catching prospect. Good both behind the plate and at the plate. Just does a lot of things well. And it's just hit at every single level he's reached, which is a great, great sign for a catcher. So he's definitely the big name to keep an eye on the position player side of things. But when I look at the rest of the team, like Noah Mendlinger is somebody who I think is super interesting, very, very patient at the plate, well, is not afraid to get into two strike counts because he knows he can make contact with anything. So it's kind of like the opposite of Cesar Prieto, where Prieto swings at everything because he knows he can hit everything. Mendlinger swings at nothing because he knows he can hit the ball if he needs to.
And he's our number 38 prospect, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. And like, so I think that he doesn't have a ton of power in his game, but a little bit of a contact and an OBP-oriented utility guy, maybe there's a place for him as he goes up a little bit higher. Maybe he can break into the bigs with that kind of a skill set. We'll see. Definitely somebody who's at least interesting to track. Nathan Church is another guy who just makes a ton of contact. And Chris Rotondo is a guy who's old for his level. He's always been old for his level, but he's just consistently hit the ball. So I do think in that outfield group, there are some interesting names.
Right. But it looks like, I guess it would be fair to say that probably the pitching is going to carry Springfield this year, at least in the early going. As you said, both Tank Hansen and Tekoa Roby are probably gunning to get that early season promotion to Memphis. Of course, we talked before about whether there's room for them or not. But, you know, after six or eight starts, if those guys dominate the Texas League, you know, the Cardinals will be motivated to move them up.
Yeah, there's definitely no reason to keep them down. If they're ready for AAA, those are the two best pitcher prospects in the system. You don't want to have to keep them down there longer than you have to.
So let's move to high A Peoria. Bryson Motz, left-hander, who was very successful at Palm Beach last year, is in that rotation. They've also got some very interesting position players. Catcher Leonardo Bernal, who's in our top 10 in the system. And then the outfield in Peoria, basically moved up from Palm Beach. And I'm talking about Joshua Baez, Juan Bencho, who's our number 12 prospect, and Zach Levinson, who was a 2023 draftee. What do you see from the Peoria roster?
Yeah, so like we looked at the Springfield roster and identified the rotations being really interesting. I think with Peoria, it's the outfield group. You look at guys like Juan Bencho, he is a guy who does have a really, really interesting blend of tools. He can do all five things well, hit for power, run, throw, field. He can do all of it. It's just a question of whether he can do it with consistency and whether he can actually get the ball off the ground enough to tap into his power. So we'll see if he can develop those things going forward. Those are probably going to be the big focuses for him this year. But he's a guy who really stood out to me last year when I watched him. He's just really smooth when he plays the game, does a little bit of everything, does everything well. Really fun player to watch. Alex Iadesernia is another guy who stood out to me when I watched him last year. And he's also in that outfield group. I don't know if he'll get the chance to start every day with how packed it is out there. Maybe he'll get some time at DH, or Baez gets some time at DH and he goes into the outfield. But he's a really small guy, under 6 feet tall, like 175 pounds. He just has a ton of pop in his bat for what his size would suggest. And he's fast and he plays a good defense. I think he's a guy who's a little underrated in the system. And he's really good at one, hitting the ball in the air, and two, pulling the ball in the air.
Talking about Alex Iadesernia, who's our number 42 prospect.
Yeah, so I think he's a guy who could actually rise a decent number of spots in our rankings next year if he can kind of show that he can keep hitting the ball the way he has been. So he's definitely interesting to watch. I think Zach Levinson, another guy, ton of power. I was actually a big fan of the Zach Levinson pick. We'll see. I think he's gotten some time at DH already this season. He got a lot of time at DH in college, but from what I've seen of him after the draft, it does look like he can play a decent outfield. So I wouldn't be shocked to see him out there in right field, or he can use his arm and just let his power carry the profile a little bit.
Now, I may not have been fair to Peoria just singling out Bryson Motz, because Pete Hansen is there, who is in that same draft class, again, was very good at Palm Beach last year. And of course, Cooper Jerpy, who folks have seen a lot of as a Cardinals first rounder a year ago. So, you know, there are some interesting arms, primarily from the left side in the Peoria rotation.
Yeah, definitely. I think this will be big for Cooper Jerpy because he spent all of last season when he was healthy in Peoria. So he's another guy who you would kind of hope can rise into that double A rotation, maybe backfill for Tink Hansen or Tekoa Roby when they get called up. I think really just the big thing for Jerpy is getting healthy. Even when he was healthy, at times it looked like he was still being bothered by some things. His command wasn't quite there. He really struggled to go inside on right-handers. I think those are things that are going to improve now that he's healthier. And we've already seen the velocity tick up in the spring, up into like the 92, 93 range, where he was sitting more 88 to 90 last year. So even that is a big development, both as a sign that he's healthy and as a sign that he can get back to thriving the way that he did.
Yeah, and I think that's important. As you mentioned, Cooper Jerpy did pitch in the Arizona Fall League after coming back, but I had the gun on him and I never saw him hit at 90. But this spring, again, you know, he was in the low 90s, 92-ish, and that's certainly a positive sign for him. That leaves us with Class A, Low A Palm Beach. Like Peoria, they have a 30-man roster, so they can afford to carry a few extra players beyond what the higher levels of the system as well as the major leagues carry. Some very interesting pitchers there. Quinn Matthews, who was the Cardinals' fourth rounder last year, didn't pitch as a lot of pitchers don't their first year. Chen-Wai Lin, the young man signed from overseas, also very interesting as well. And then catchers, two Hernandez, Michael Hernandez and Sammy Hernandez. Sammy Hernandez came over from Toronto in the Genesis Cabrera trade. And then some other draft picks from last year, Ross Friedrich at first base, Trey Page. And then the outfield, the number one pick of the Cardinals last year, Chase Davis, did not earn the promotion to Peoria like those three outfielders we just discussed. But chances are he's going to be showing that he deserves that move up to high A as soon as possible. Who caught your eye with Peoria?
So, yeah, I think with Palm Beach.
With Palm Beach.
Yeah, you're good. with Palm Beach, the rotation is really interesting to me. We've got guys just that we really haven't seen a whole lot of in there with Quinn Matthews and Savakul, the Cardinals sixth round pick last year. Chen-Wai Lin pitched some last year, just not a ton. So I think getting to know these guys a little bit more is going to be interesting to me. And even in their first outings, we've learned a lot about Quinn Matthews, whose fastball was sitting 94, touching 95, definitely higher than he was in college. He was getting about 18 and a half inches of induced vertical break on that pitch, which gives it a really good amount of riding life. Plays really well up in the zone. That's a much better fastball than he had in college. And I think even that kind of development this early in his career is a positive sign for him moving forward, especially since he's a guy who has a solid changeup and a solid slider to really round out the rotation. So he looks like a guy who looks pretty polished, and I wouldn't be shocked to see him move up a little bit quicker than everybody else in the rotation.
And that's Quinn Matthews. We're talking about the left-hander.
Yes.
Lynn is a guy that maybe we overlooked when we did our prospect rankings this year, because his numbers last year, as you said, weren't impressive, but he's 6'7", well-built, and, you know, was really just getting used to throwing in America when he signed last summer. So what are you hoping to see from Lynn, Chen-Wai Lin, this year?
Yeah, I want to see a number of things from Lynn. I think to start, just better command. I mean, he kind of struggled with that in single A. Granted, it was about four starts, but he was walking a lot of guys, and that's not uncommon for a young international signing who's 6'7". There's a lot of body to control in there, and I do think that is something that comes with time a little bit and with development. So I'm hoping we see some progress there. I also want to see some progress with the slider. The slider, it's more of a gyro slider, meaning it doesn't get a ton of movement in the vertical or horizontal direction. It kind of drops, creates a lot of gyro spin. Typically, the benefit of that pitch is that you can throw it harder than the average slider. For a gyro slider, especially for a guy who can throw like 97 miles per hour, his gyro slider sits more like 83, 84, which is not fast enough for that pitch to really lean into its strength. So I'm hoping he can reshape the pitch and add more break to it, or just learn how to try to get more velocity behind it to just miss more bats with it. But the fastball itself is a really enticing profile. Throws it hard, as you would expect for a guy who stands at 6'7". He gets a lot of extension, so it looks even harder when it's coming in on the hitter. And then he gets like 14 to 15 inches of arm side run on a four-seam fastball, which is a lot for that kind of a pitch. So he does have the makings of a bat-missing arsenal. Now it's just, can he refine it?
Okay. Anybody else in the Palm Beach roster that you want to talk about?
I think Chase Davis, obviously, is somebody who's super interesting to watch. We saw, again, contact issues with him last year. A lot of that, to me, looked like it was timing issues. He was missing pitches that he should have hit. He was just late, just early, swinging just under it, things like that. He wasn't getting overpowered, but he was definitely not doing what he should have been at the plate. And I know we've talked in here in the past of Chase Davis being a candidate for a swing change just because there were so many things going on in the swing. And he did show a swing change in the spring, where he kind of dropped the leg kick a little bit, simplified the loading action, and then it looked like in his first game in Palm Beach, he went back to his old swing. So something to watch this year is it looks like he's been tweaking his swing a little bit. I don't know if he just doesn't feel comfortable enough with the new swing to break it down in a competitive game yet or not. If it's something he wanted to try, didn't like it and dropped it. Could be any number of things, but it's something to watch with him is one, can he actually make more contact with the ball? And two, what is he going to do with his swing this year?
And Chase Davis was a guy who last year did a good job of improving his walks, struck out, you know, improved his strikeout to walk ratio quite substantially. But some of the folks in the Cardinals organization were concerned that he was too passive at the plate, that he was taking pitches and optimizing for the walk. And that's not something I want to see from the middle of the order. The other thing I will say about Chase Davis is he is most interesting, as any outfielder would be, if he could play center field. This year, Chase Davis has been moved to left. Now, it's only been a week, or not even a week. So we'll watch and see, but you know, a little less exciting if he's going to be a left fielder rather than a center fielder.
Yeah, and definitely if he's going to be a left fielder or a right fielder, that's going to put even more pressure on his bat to develop.
Yeah. All right. Anybody else, Palm Beach, you want to touch on before we quit?
There are two relievers who I haven't seen a ton of, but I've seen some pitch metrics from their first couple outings of this year, and they're both really interesting. Luis Castellum, signed out of Mexico. And then Ettore Giulianelli, if I'm pronouncing that right.
Yeah, the Italian, yeah.
Yeah, the Italian baseball player is not one you see very often. But the guy is just a bona fide bat messer. He literally, I think, over 40% of his plate appearances last year ended in a strikeout or a walk. It might have been over 50%. So he's a guy can miss bats, can't really throw in the zone consistently. Something to work on. Gastelum has a little bit of the same issue, but I think both of those guys look interesting from what I've seen of them. They both look like they can miss bats, and I'm really, really excited to see how they develop in the bullpen this year.
Yeah, Giannelli is a guy who I think he's spent either 2 or 3 years in the in rookie ball. So, you know, and again, a guy coming in from overseas from a country that's not a traditional baseball hotbed. He was obviously behind in development from others, but it'll be nice to see if he can take a step forward this year. All right, with that, we're going to call it for this week. We, as you heard, we covered the Springfield, Peoria, and Palm Beach rosters. The Cardinal Nation has reporters in each of those local cities as well as in Memphis, providing their team reports on what they're seeing and hearing from the ballparks this year. So please subscribe to the Cardinal Nation, and you'll be able to read everything that they write. Of course, our prospect guide is still for sale. Still have it available in both printed spiral-bound form as well as PDF. And we hope you join the Cardinal Nation and support the great work that Blake and all the others do who work on our site. Thank you for listening this week, and we will talk to you on April 17th.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.